Amen. Thank you, Matt and William, for leading us in worship. We're going to be all over the place today. I don't normally do a whole lot of topical sermons, but I am today. And so I've got most of the scripture in your notes. Does anybody need notes that didn't get them? Everybody got notes? We're all good? Okay, looks like we're all good. We're going to step away from Nehemiah this week, and we're going to talk about the nation of Israel this week. God's chosen people. As all of you know, the nation of Israel was brutally attacked by Hamas, a terrorist group, a week ago yesterday. And for Americans, it's a grim reminder of the unexpected and the unimaginable 9/11 attack and the Pearl Harbor attack on American soil. Some of the comments from Israel were, our government has failed to protect us, and now our whole nation is at war. And as Americans, we can imagine, at least to some degree, and I want to be very careful here, but we can imagine, at least to some degree, the fear, the grief, the horror, the confusion, and the difficulty of trying to figure out how do you defend your country, especially in the world that we live in today? How do you pull that off, especially if you're Israel, surrounded by people that hate you and surrounded by people who long for war? Listen to the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 120. And again, this is the first song of ascent that the Israelites would begin to sing as they left their homes and begin this pilgrimage towards Jerusalem for these annual feasts ordained by God. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from the sharp arrows of the warrior. Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech, and I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. In other words, I am surrounded by those who hate peace and those who long for war. And so today, let's look at Israel from a biblical perspective so that we can understand who they are and why the United States of America has supported and stood behind Israel, stood with Israel all these years. No other nation on earth has befriended and supported the nation of Israel like the United States of America. In fact, it was the United States that convinced the United Nations in 1948 to recognize Israel as its own nation. Which leads us to point number one in your notes this morning. According to the scriptures, the Lord gives his favor and his blessing to those who are a blessing to Israel. According to the Bible, the Lord gives his favor and his blessing to those who are a blessing to Israel. We read in Genesis 12, and I, the Lord, will make you a great nation, he says to Israel. And now listen to this. This is very important that you understand this. I'm about to read why God chose Israel. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. That was God's number one purpose for Israel, that they would bless all the other nations of the planet. He goes on to say, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. Wow. We need to be careful, right? We need to be careful with what we say, right? I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And then listen to this. God's purpose for Israel, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So in this passage, the Lord God reveals his original purpose for choosing Israel, which was for them to become a blessing to all the families of the earth. And they would become a blessing through all the families of the earth through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born a Jew. And God also promises to bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. We also read in 1 Samuel where the Lord God told Saul to destroy the Amalekites because of their ruthless and brutal attack on Israel as Israel was coming up out of Egypt, as the Lord was rescuing them from their slavery in Egypt. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15, Saul came to the city of Amalek, where the Amalekites lived. And he set an ambush. King Saul did this. This is what the Lord told him to do. He set an ambush in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, listen to this. This is a small group of people that lived next to the Amalekites. And Saul said to the Kenites, go, depart, go down from among these Amalekites so that I do not destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the sons of Israel as they came up out of Egypt. So while the Amalekites brutally attacked Israel, the Kenites showed kindness to all the sons of Israel. And so who did God protect? He protected the Kenites. Many of you remember the story of Rahab. Same idea, right? And in Zechariah 2:8, the Lord says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, he who touches you, speaking of Israel, touches the apple of my eye. Bottom line, we need to pray for Israel, but we also need to pray for the United States as well as Israel, because supporting Israel is not only important and in our best interest, but also for the purpose of remaining true to our word. If only once again we could become a people true to our word, that we would truly support God's chosen people. You know, it's one of the things I've tried to teach my children. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Period. Right? Discussion over. If unless you realize you've said something wrong, then go apologize. But if you say you're going to do something, do it. And we've said for hundreds of years that we would support Israel, that we would stand by God's chosen people. And so not only is this important for remaining true to our word, but it's also important for remaining true to God's word, as we're going to see this morning. Point number one, the Lord gives his favor and his blessing to those who are a blessing to Israel. And God has blessed the United States of America with amazing prosperity and power. We are by far one of the most prosperous and powerful nations on the planet. And God has blessed this nation beyond its wildest dreams. Secondly, God's eternal purpose is to bless all the rest of humanity through his chosen people, Israel. God's eternal purpose is to bless all the rest of humanity through his chosen people, Israel. And it behooves us, meaning it's in our best interest, to remember how precious these Jewish people are to the Lord our God. The Lord God says to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 7 in your notes, for you are a holy people. That means I have God is saying to them, I have personally set you apart for myself and my purposes. For you are a holy people. That's what the word holy means. It means to be set apart. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you. Circle those two words in your notes. You're a holy people. Circle that. You're chosen people. Circle that. To be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples that are on the face of the earth. And listen, God didn't set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other of the peoples. Not because you were greater than any other of the peoples on earth, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your forefathers, because God keeps his word, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet at that time. The Lord brought you out by his mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery and from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so God's plan for Israel has always been that they would be a conduit of his blessing to the rest of the world. In fact, the Bible says in John 4:22, salvation is from the Jews. God gave his word through the Jews to be passed on to the rest of the world. Deuteronomy chapter 4, Matthew chapter 1, and John chapter 1. And God gave his Savior Jesus Christ through the Jews to be a blessing to all the peoples of the world, John 3:16. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 27:6, in the days to come, Israel will blossom and sprout, and they will fill the whole world with fruit. So, while we may not always agree with everything the Jewish people do and how they do it, we do support their God-given right to exist as a nation and as God's chosen people, because that's God's plan. God's plan for them will eventually be carried out to completion, and we're going to see that in a few minutes. Number one, the Lord gives his favor and his blessing to those who are a blessing to Israel. Number two, God's eternal purpose is to bless all the rest of humanity through his chosen people, Israel. And number three, God's plan for Israel will be brought to its fulfillment in the New Jerusalem. Now, prophetically speaking, this New Jerusalem, who the Bible says, whose architect and builder is God himself, Hebrews 11:10, is still to come. And all of Christ's followers, his church, are pilgrims still approaching this New Jerusalem, just like the Jewish people made their pilgrimage to the earthly Jerusalem to celebrate their yearly feast. And the New Jerusalem is best described in Revelation 21. Look at that in your notes with me. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And John is describing this eternal state where the church, believers in Jesus Christ, will dwell when the old heavens and the old earth have passed away because of sin. Revelation 20. In other words, sin will have been eradicated at the great white throne judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And the eternal state, listen to this closely, the eternal state for unbelievers is also described in Revelation chapter 20. And it describes unrepentant sinners, those who refuse to turn away from their sins and turn back to the living God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, Revelation 20, verses 14 through 15. And these are those whose names were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, verse 15. So now it's important to understand, there's only one way to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is by placing your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Put another way, if you refuse to repent of your sins and receive Christ as your Savior, then you will be judged according to your sins. And make no mistake, at the judgment seat of Christ, because of the brilliance of Jesus Christ, our sins will finally be brought into the light before the great white throne of Christ Himself, and they will be seen for what they truly are, shameful and detestable, an affront and an abomination to the living God. And there will be no more excuses, and there will be no more rationalization for our sins. If we are not saved by faith in Jesus Christ, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will answer for our sins that we refused to repent of. Because we refused or we rejected God's one and only Son and His one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, God's Word says that the best a man can do on his own, Isaiah 64:6, is like filthy garments before a holy God. And then John continues in Revelation 21 with verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the Son of Israel, representing the Old Testament believers from Israel. And there were 3 gates on the east, and there were 3 gates to the north, and there were 3 gates to the south, and there were 3 gates to the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundational stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, representing the believers from the church, both Jew and Gentile. And then John looked for the city's temple, verse 22, and he couldn't find it, because the Lord God Almighty and its Lamb, Jesus Christ, are its temple. Look at Revelation 21, 21 through 27. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each one of the gates was a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. You're beginning to see where we get these ideas of what heaven is going to look like, right? I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And in the city there's no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb of God. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no nighttime there, and its gates will never be closed. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination, lying, shall ever come into it, but only those, listen to this, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Meaning those whose sins have been forgiven because they've repented and they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. One author states, there will be a temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation, and there will be a temple in Jerusalem during the millennium, but there will be no temple in the New Jerusalem because a representation of God's presence will no longer be necessary. We will have His direct presence. We will live in His direct presence. And God's presence will radiate to the point that there will be no night, even though there's no sun. And the river of life flowing from the throne of God, the Bible says, will cause trees to bear fruit and will cause the healing of the nations, Revelation 22:2. And all of God's servants, from the Old Testament saints to those who believed in God, to Christ's church, both Jewish and Gentile believers, will dwell together with Him forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. And all humanity will finally experience the long-awaited unity and utopia forever and ever. Will you join me in prayer this morning?